Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello and welcome back to The Moon Underwater. We are here with the brilliant Sean Keaveney designing his dream pub, and it is a cracker so far. Before the break, though, we had Dan giving his quiz questions, as always. Now, Dan, I'll hand you back over to you for a sentence with some of those words
in it, to order.
The quiz answers.
Yeah, yeah. So radio history, Sean, of course, broadcasting legend, so I thought it would be a bit of radio history. Question one, the first words uttered on BBC Radio 1 were, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the exciting new sound of Radio 1. But who said them?
Shall I just say, because I don't know the answer,
okay.
And I'm just going to say Dave Lee Travis. I have no idea if that's the right age. I'm just going to guess.
Fair guess, a hairy conflict.
Yeah.
Whether the great sound of Radio 1, I think it was Tony Blackburn, and I think the first song he played was Flowers in the Rain by The Move.
Excellent. Was Tony Blackburn.
I think I had heard that now.
Hosted for 5 years. Until he moved to the mid-morning slot. Who took over?
Noel Edmonds.
Dave Lee Travis.
Wow.
Tragic, isn't it? But I know that.
Brilliant.
Tragic.
A master of his craft.
Noel Edmonds.
That is brilliant. Homework.
Okay, question two. Smashy and Nicey were DJ characters created by Harry Enfield and Paul Whitehouse, but what fictional station did they broadcast for?
It's going to really annoy me.
I've no idea.
Watched so many episodes.
I used to watch it, but I can't remember.
I went back and watched a few sketches. Still very good.
Is it? Yeah, it stands up, doesn't it?
Still really funny.
I love it.
Stands up. Still great.
Yeah, it's
still really good.
All that stuff, man. I mean, I was desperate on Saturday night. Obviously, like in a sort of post New Year fog, ended up watching some Channel 5 program about the good life. And I was like, oh my God, I still love the good life.
Yeah.
But actually, weirdly, my wife and I were on Jules Holland's Hootenanny.
Stuart!
And I was sitting next to Paul Whitehouse throughout. And we had Jim Moyer. And Jim smuggled some wine in. And we got absolutely rat-arsed.
I mean, what a night.
It was an amazing
with
night.
Jim Moyer and Paul Whitehouse.
One of the best.
So they don't have booze there then?
They do, but Jim was a bit worried in case they restricted the amounts, so he clanked in with his own.
Clever.
Because he's a legend.
Let's get Jim.
You've got to get Jim.
Come on.
Jim's
I've been to his house.
Have you really?
We interviewed him there once.
Wow.
It was great. It was so good.
With like a studio at the end of the garden sort of thing.
Yeah,
for painting.
Yeah, he took us and showed us around there and we did a bit of filming in it. Oh, God. That was a nice day.
That's a good gig.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go, you see. Get them on. But, I can't think that what that name of that radio station is.
I want to do the voice, but I'll probably mess it up, so I'm not going to. But Radio Fab FM.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you hear it.
I think I had none. Some stage of my life, I've known both of those.
Yeah, definitely. Radio Fab FM. So Paul Whitehouse was Smashy. Harry Enfield was Nicey.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, brilliant. And final question. Annie Nightingale was Radio 1's first female DJ in 1970, but there wasn't another one added to the roster for 12 more years. Who was it?
I'm trying to think of what female DJs were on Radio 1 when I was young.
Definitely heard of her.
Yeah, but I can't
and
think.
She's still broadcasting.
Oh, right. No, this is an interesting extra level that I did because I had an idea in mind, but that's blown it out of the water. So this would be
taking. I think she is.
This is taking us up to 1982 then. Mm. That which in itself is kind of crazy when you think about it. Because for me, it could only be. I would have thought, but now I've lost confidence in it. There's somebody. Jackie Brambles is still going on Greatest Hits Radio. But I don't think. I thought it was Janice Long.
It is Janice Long.
Janice Long. So I was right. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I think she's still got. I think she's still got a show on Radio 1.
No, she was on Greatest Hits, but she actually sadly passed away 18 months ago. Yeah, I know too much about the radio idiom, obviously.
Oh no, that's terrible. I did know that.
But it's not your world. You wouldn't know necessarily.
Do you know what? A lot of times you would tailor the quiz to a guest.
Mm.
And I'll be honest, for the guests, they perform poorly for something that is tailored to them. Sean was excellent there. She had exceptional knowledge of the radio industry.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Can I just very quickly give you a lovely fact about Janice Long?
Yeah.
She was on the very first episode of a game show, which I think you both remember, called 3-2-1.
Oh, Ted Rogers.
Yeah, with Ted Rogers. She was on it and won it with her husband.
That Dusty Bin.
Yeah, Dusty Bin. Yeah. And basically, like something like Challenge repeated it a few years ago. And I found this tweet because someone had said, is that you on 3-2-1? And she replied, said, yeah, it was me. We sold the silver tea set the next day for $2,000 and used it as a deposit on a house in Tyneville Road for Zachary. Apparently one of the prizes was a genuine St. Bernard dog.
What?
And then she also said that her ex nicked the ceramic dusty bin that they, because this is so surreal. Else.
Yeah. So she must have, do you think that was just before she was famous?
Yes,
then?
I think it was like 77, 78 sort of time. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Stephen Merchant on Blockbusters?
No, that
is that on YouTube?
Yeah.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, have a look at it. It's great.
Because you can't miss Stephen Merchant. Yeah, you can't mistake him for anybody else.
We need to discuss spirits with you, Sean. You've got two you can put in your pub. What's your first choice?
Ooh. Right, I'm going to put... I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do it in order of me getting into them. God, I mean, it's sad, this, isn't it? Like the only thing that Sean's really knowledgeable about and really truly enthusiastic about is alcoholic beverages. It's not like, you know, it's not
but
like
it I'll, makes you tailor made for this.
It
podcast,
does.
So.
This is my métier.
Yeah.
So I'm perfect for that. But I would say Jack Daniels is an obvious choice. But I do love it, and I'm a bit broad with my... I'm not very good with whiskies. I don't like Scotch. I don't like Irish whiskey. I don't like that all that peatiness. I don't like all that the stuff that tastes like TCP. Not interested, right? And again, I've got friends who are real aficionados. Not interested. And so never really drank it. However, went, oh my God, what's this? Jack Daniels, let's give it a try. Off we went, especially me and my mates Banksy and Nicola. We've always been exponents and enthusiasts of Jack Daniels. Not so much now, but there was a period when it was very exciting to us. It was like, we don't take drugs, we do like a drink, but if you want to get from 0 to 60 in a Ferrari instead of a transit van, get on the Jack Daniels. And so there was that period of time. There was and again, please drink responsibly. I am not encouraging people to binge drink, but there was one night where we got so unbelievably spannered. I think we bought two large bottles of Jack Daniels, which seemed to have gone between the three of us in a night. And I knew we were in trouble. We were in my flat at the time. When Nicola just started, we got the guitars out, having a bit of a jam, having a laugh, playing old Mosque songs, always funny. Let's hear Lost Things, that song you used to do about MASH, the TV program, they're doing all that. And then spontaneously, Nicola just broke down crying. And it wasn't because the music was so bad. It was, and I was saying to Paul, what was wrong with Nicola? He's like, have you seen how much Jack Daniels we've drunk? And it was just that kind of, it was like a mania that came over us, that sort of, that only the relatively young can survive, I think. You know, if you tried to do that now, you would be in hospital and then you would probably be on dialysis or something. Whereas at that point we could deal with it. But it was a great time that to, you know, we used to enjoy that. I don't do that anymore. Now I've moved through the gears a little bit with spirits. I don't really drink spirits very often. But my wife, who's because she's half Jamaican, you see, so she's always loved a bit of rum and a bit of spiced rum. And then it was like reminded me of my dad, who likes it like a Captain Morgan's with some hot water in it. She got me into that. And the Diplomatico, the sipping rum, is absolutely the best spirit in the world, in my view. We went to Florence once, my wife and I. We'd not been together all that long. We had this beautiful romantic weekend in one of the most beautiful cities in the world, staying in this incredible hotel. And, you know, you're sort of caught up in the romance of a place and balmy nights. And, you know, we'd been out for a delicious Italian meal and we came back to the bar and this incredibly sort of, this brilliant barman was sort of attending to our every need and chatting to us and getting us really in the mood for a nice drink. But what would you like to drink? When your wildest dreams? And we were like, well, we don't really know. What would you, I quite like rum. And he pulled out this bottle of Diplomatico. I'd never heard of it before, right? Pulled it out and he sort of presented it to us in a sort of quite a sort of elaborate way. This is Diplomatico. I can't do Italian accents. It's Diplomatico rum. It's unbelievable. You must try it. What you must do is have a shot each with a little piece of dark chocolate. And he presented us with the dark chocolate and it was like 40 euros each or something, but we were like, bollocks to it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Never
going to
regret that.
Never going to regret it. What an experience. And because of that, I thought, this must be like one of those rums that you find on the Antiques Roadshow or something. Yeah. And then when I was going through customs on the way back home, I saw a bottle of Diplomatico on sale for like 26 fucking euros. I was like, bloody hell. That is a markup.
A lot of the reviews for it are like, you could get it for sort of 35 quid and people going pile in because it is so good. Like they were going for 35 quid. Oh, absolutely pile in. Yeah. Oh, Venezuelan, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's so big. But the problem with it is because I'm quite temperate, but I can't have things in the house. It's like I can't have biscuits in the house, right? Because I'm like a Labrador. If my mum comes in by accident with like four packets of morning coffee biscuits or something, they'll all be gone by the end of the afternoon. So I can't have Diplomatico rum in the house because I drink it without even thinking. You know, it's a Friday night. Another little square of dark chocolate. Little square of dark chocolate. Watch another music documentary. Three quarters of a fucking bottle's gone. You know, so I can't indulge very often. But you should try it. It's amazing.
My wife and I went to Florence when we were relatively early in our relationship too. We spent a few days there.
We did as well.
And we went just outside to, I think it was called San Gimignano. It was like a place of the towers or something like that, city of the towers. It was like a sort of villagey town thing, really old, with loads of towers around. And we stayed there for a couple of nights. And during the day, it's full of tourists on buses that come in. But in the evening, there's no one there. And it's this beautiful place. We wandered around. We didn't have any Diplomatico rum, but we found a little restaurant there. We went in there and they had a badly translated menu, which I always enjoy.
Yes.
And they had the most mysterious sounding dish I've ever seen. And it just said, ravioli. They seems ravioli.
Ooh.
They seems.
Yeah.
What?
Did you have it?
It was ravioli. But very nice ravioli, but yeah.
They seems.
Isn't that the most mysterious thing? It doesn't make sense, but it's more mysterious than anything you've ever heard.
Yeah.
God, what meat is this?
I went to Florence and every now and again, still dream that I'm in Florida. Yeah. I have these dreams where I'm just wandering around.
Isn't it incredible?
Beautiful place. And I've also always thought, you're not so into football, but Robbie, I'd still occasionally think about what if I could have been a professional footballer.
Yeah,
that sort of dream.
Yeah.
I genuinely, once I'd been there, I went, well, I don't care what league they were in. I don't care what they would pay me. I just want to live here.
Yeah.
So as long as you want me, as long as I'm good enough, whatever's in the budget, I'll take it. I just need to live here.
I just want it's to play the
most
local
beautiful
team.
Place I've ever seen.
Isn't it incredible? Sort of.
I've amazing. Got to the age where I still occasionally have a dream that I've been picked to play for Liverpool or something, but it's not a happy dream anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I remember having a dream where I, for some reason, got picked to play for Liverpool, and Jurgen Klopp was going through the team, and he picked me, and I was just thinking, "Oh no, what's he done that for? I'm going to be awful. Everyone's going to hate me." And it wasn't like a nice thing. It was just like, "Oh God, I wish that this wasn't happening, but I can't say I don't want to play now."
Yeah.
And do in the dream, do you ever actually go on the pitch?
No,
and then
I think I was just
underperform?
Sad in the dressing room. I think
I have a lot. Do you ever have the classic work dreams? Like I still have them a lot. Where it's just a stress dream, but it's always work related, and I am in a radio station, indeterminate radio station, and for some reason it's CDs, and the CD's running out, and there aren't any other CDs, and then the microphone goes up, and I've not even put the microphone up, but the mic's live, and the music's run out, and I'm just like sort of walking about the building trying to find a CD while the mic's live and nobody's speaking. It's just I have it about every 3 months.
Yeah,
dreadful.
Yeah,
let's make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
play a song. God's sake.
Wonderful. Well, a couple of lovely spirit choices there. Jack Daniels. I say lovely. I drank it for a year in my life at university, from like 18 to probably 19. That's what a year is. and then I drank so much at the university law ball in the summer of 1996 that I haven't been able to drink
right.
it since.
Really? It's one of those, because everybody's got one of those, haven't
they? Yeah, that night took out Jack Daniels and Southern Comfort in one foul swoop. What an evening.
Southern Comfort.
Frank Sinatra buried with a bottle of Jack in his inside jacket pocket.
Oh, I should go in for that.
He was Jackie Gleason introduced Jan Daniels to him.
Isn't it funny? In my head, it's like not classy enough for Frank Sinatra, but there
I think
he is.
In those days it probably was.
Yeah. And it was probably a bit more exclusive then, wasn't it?
Yeah. And apparently, Lemmy from Motorhead apparently drank a bottle of Jack Daniels every day for 38 years. That can't be true.
No.
That cannot
he can't
be true.
Have made he wouldn't have made his 60s if he did that every day.
Surely
would he?
Not.
I know that it's brilliant if you are a sad old, hoary old rock guitar fan like me and you love Hendrix and The Who and everything. Have you ever seen the film The Kids Are Alright by The Who?
No.
I recommend everybody goes, if you've got any interest in rock music at all, or even if you're not, watch it. It's basically like a compilation of the first 15 years of their life, and it goes all the way up to when Keith Moon dies, ironically, of... He took an overdose of alcohol, sort of medication to get him off the alcohol, which was very sad. But just before he dies, they do this gig in London, and they play "Won't Get Fooled Again," and Pete has just consumed a bottle of brandy, and it's just an incredible. It's like a sociological, anthropological thing to watch, because he's unbelievably twatted. But he plays this gig. I mean, it's a bit glue and strings. It's a bit all over the place, as you would expect. But it's also one of the most electrifying performances you've ever seen of anything. But you look him in the eyes, he's like, he's totally gone. It's remarkable, really. I mean, he was doing that for a few years, a bottle of spirits a day. I don't recommend it.
No.
Keep the Diplomatico out your house.
Yeah.
Some bands did just drink a lot. I remember talking to Ryan from the Cribs, and he was saying years ago, I don't know if it might well have changed now, but years ago, and he was saying that he couldn't play a gig sober, so I just couldn't do it. I have to drink beforehand.
Yeah, just to take the edge off.
Yeah.
That's like me, I've had half a bottle before I got here.
Yeah, just half. Tucking into the machine. We do a litre each. Lovely choices there. But now it is time for a suggestion, not from you, Sean, but from one of our listeners. Ooh. Every week, Dan chats to one of our listeners, and it's quite a strong McEwen's export. one of our listeners, and gets a suggestion for your pub. You don't have to take it. Mm. You can reject it if you want. It's up to you.
Right.
Who have you been speaking to this week, Dan?
It's actually a person called Sean, but it is not Sean Keighley. Okay. This is another Sean.
Thank you for clarifying.
Hey, this is Sean. And my suggestion for Sean's pub is that he should have all of the compilations from the long but not forgotten X-Ray magazine playing in the pub on the jukebox on a continuous loop. I mean, just to bring back the real feeling of indie sleaze from that era. Cheers.
X-Ray magazine.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, thank you, Sean. I think X-Ray was that was a sort of, if I'm remembering it rightly, and we're right in the jaws of my casual Peroni abuse years, really. So my memory's not great, but wasn't X-Ray was a sort of indie magazine, wasn't it? Like almost like a sort of fanzine style thing, and I think they used to champion all that stuff that we would have played on, because I used to work on London's 104.9 XFM for quite a few years before I went to the BBC. Those were halcyon days in a lot of ways. And it would have been people, I've probably got this wrong, but I think what Sean's referring to is stuff like, you know, like the Libertines and people, and the Cribs, I would imagine, people like that, early Maccabees, all that kind of, that's what I'm imagining when I hear that.
I think you're right, Sean, because you know what I've got here? I found a copy of X-Ray magazine from July 2003.
Oh, right in the zone.
And there are a list of artists on the front. And there's quite a lot of them on there. I'd say there's over 10 that they've listed on the front that are in this magazine. I'll give you a point for each one you can name.
God.
July 2003.
Oh, my God. So, this is right. I should get all 10 of those. I mean, Razorlight won't be on there because that was a bit before their time, I think. No. But it probably would have been people. Well, sure, the Libertines are on there.
Not on this one, no. You're in the right era.
Is it not the dead 60s and people like that?
No, but Weirdly Right Radio came up on Spotify the other day randomly for me.
I know, that was a good song, that.
Pretty good song.
Coldplay would have been too big by then.
Yeah.
It would have been... this is going to embarrass me now. Everyone that you say, I'm going to know.
You are. Should I go for it?
Go on.
Well, the cover stars are Super Furry Animals.
Oh, yeah.
Metallica get a mention. Weird. The Thrills.
The Thrills.
The Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Ryder, Polyphonic Spree.
Yes.
The Coral, Karen O, Nicky Wire, Billy Childish.
Oh.
Bright Eyes, Gang of Four, a few others.
What's funny... how did this come about? The Darkness, right? We played that was it. I did a sort of, occasionally I do a thing called Sing Along a Satire, where it's basically, you know, I'll just retool a song and just sing it with new lyrics. It's not a new idea. And I was doing Get Your Hands Off My Woman by The Darkness. But we used to, we heavily playlisted that song in 2003, and it was completely unexpurgated. And it was only about 15 years later that I realized that in the song, the lyric is, get your hands off of my woman, motherfucker. And the last lyric of the first verse is, you.
Yeah.
And it was like, I completely unexpurgated, just played it about 36 times a month.
Wow.
Nobody even noticed. No. It's amazing what people do and don't notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Well done to The Darkness for that.
Great band.
X-Ray. Yeah, okay. I agree with that. I think that X-Ray compilation.
It's
like an indie mag.
Sorry. No, but what was the suggestion? That the CDs from...
Oh, I don't remember the big CDs.
I think, does it just mean put it on the jukebox in the pub? Is that what he's talking about?
Oh, the...
Putting the compilation on there, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I think that's what he wants us to do. That's what I've taken it as, anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Why not? Yeah, all right.
I found a list of other acts in there. The Hives, The Prodigy.
Yeah.
Winnebago Deal. Oh. Clang. Crimea.
Sizer Barker. You know, all these great names. Josh Rouse. You know, all the things we used to play.
The Crimea. Anyway, we could list things from the July 2003 issue of X-Ray all day. People would be delighted. So, other Sean, your idea is accepted
absolutely
by this Sean.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you've got a suggestion for something that could go into a future pub, you can email me, robbie@moonunderpod.com, with your idea. Now, Sean, big question this for you. It's pub jukebox time. You can put one CD or mini disc into the pub jukebox of your choosing. I went heavy on mini discs when they came out, yeah, and I'm trying to bring them back because I've got quite a few.
No one's done it yet, though.
Nobody's done it. No. Have they not? I did that. Yeah, I got. I think Christmas 1999. I got a mini disc. Okay. You know, so I've got some.
But great, you're an early adopter then.
Probably, yeah, yeah. You're cutting edge as usual.
Yeah.
This is hard, obviously. You know, my favourite memories of jukeboxes are the pubs that my uncle Ken used to have. But he had the Boar's Head in Lee, and he had the Musketeer in Lee. And the Musketeer used to be a great pub, quite decent beer. Quite little, lots of brass rubbings on the walls, classic, you know, but like a proper 45s jukebox. And we used to, it had things like Baker Street, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, you know, the Wedding Presents version of Come Up and See Me, Make Me Smile, which was quite indie. And we just, you know, we were all about the jukebox. There was a video jukebox that got put in the Eagle and Child in 1993, oof, which blew our key minds, yeah, you know. We thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of our disposable income went on jukeboxes. So it's very difficult, isn't it? I although I'm not the kind of person who would advocate for compilations very often in life, I am going to do in this instance. And I'm going to say, partially because it's all killer, no filler, obviously, because it's a compilation album. B, because I think the songs transcend all boundaries. And C, because I've got a very strong memory of my mum and dad having it on vinyl when I was very, very small. So I'm going to say, like, the Beach Boys' 20 Golden Greats should go on.
Oh, wow. Great.
Because yeah, you can't go wrong. It's all on there. You know, 3-minute mini symphonies from Brian Wilson's Crazy Mind.
I definitely had this, or my parents, or yeah, as you know, my parents had it, because Good Vibrations is probably my favourite Beach Boys song. And I've got a weird thing, association of Good Vibrations with the number 14. I don't know what, well, I do know why. It's because it's number 14 on that track.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just all stairs, yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
And I must have just been going track 14.
It's, you know, it's all on there, isn't it? Surfing USA, yeah, California there. Girls. It's just Barbara Sloop Ann. John B. It's just banger after banger, you know.
What I will say, my only criticism of this as a choice is that you are missing out on one of my favourite Beach Boys songs, the underloved 1980s Beach Boys classic, Kokomo.
Kokomo.
So maybe if there's a later compilation, you can relive your cocktail dreams and listen to that. Down in Kokomo.
Oh my God, yeah. I actually interviewed Bruce Johnson and Mike Love from the Beach Boys in this little place called Spiritland in King's Cross. Which is an odd experience. Mike Love's a very unusual man.
Is he?
Yeah, very unusual. He was, well, I don't know, just like from everything that I've read about him and then having met him a little, spent a tiny bit of time with him, not in an unpleasant way, but just like, I don't know. I think that, because Mike Love went to Rishikesh with the Beatles and everything. He was completely embedded. And in fact, the rumour is that he sort of put in a few ideas for Back in the USSR for the Beatles and stuff, because that's a Beach Boys pastis, isn't it? Beach Boys pastis. That's a drink, isn't it?
Yeah, pastis.
Pastis. Pastis, anyone. you know, like, I think I'm probably not straying too far from the truth to suggest that Mike might have been a bit of a megalomaniac. And you know, being in a group with the mercurial genius but mentally upset Brian Wilson. It's an interesting dynamic, I think.
I remember hearing something where Brian Wilson's, when he went through that phase where he was just became a recluse and wasn't doing anything, Brian Wilson's wife saying that she came down in the night, he was just on the piano, and she was playing like the most amazing song she'd ever heard. He'd just written like that. She said, "What's that, Brian?" He said, "Oh, nothing." She shot the piano, never heard it again. She's going, "That's the best thing I've ever heard."
That's a sort of haunting story, isn't it? Really, the amount of sad, unbelievable genius music that probably just he didn't even record, didn't even bother to think about.
Yeah.
Wow. Think about that, kids.
There we go. That was sad.
What have you done this afternoon? written a symphony and forgot about it.
Yeah. Well, that's a great choice there, Sean, if we could just maybe get Kokomo in there as well.
All right.
Well, but as a single in there.
Yeah,
well.
A CD single.
CD single. A mini disc single.
My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast, the rum I drank with Liz Hurley, the lager I stole from the pigeon detectives.
Time now for a drink in time, Sean, and this is where the Moon Underwater will transport you through the very fabric of time to enjoy a drink from your past one more time, and on occasion in the past. What will it be?
I mean, I think formative drinks are always at the forefront of your mind. I mean, full disclosure, I've really got an extraordinarily bad memory, almost medically poor.
I worry,
just terrible.
I worry about how bad my memory is.
Yours is
now.
Bad as well.
Yeah. There's things where someone goes, don't you remember that happening? And I think, no. It seems to be happening more and more. I'm worried.
I think there's a thing, you know. I mean, partially because I got here he goes. People who know me are saying, rolling their eyes. He's going to mention ADHD. Hang on. He's not mentioned it yet. I got an adult diagnosis last year, and that's one of the things that the specialist said, because I was very concerned about it, the memory thing. He's like, well, that's tied in. Especially if you have like inattentive ADD like I have, you just don't fucking concentrate a lot of the time. You're just not taking shit in. But certain things always stick to the sides, you know. And I would probably say, really, I mean, that Diplomatico with my wife was very memorable. It was very romantic, a very, really beautiful moment in one of the most beautiful places in the world with one of the most beautiful people in the world. She won't be listening to this anyway.
So. Before you said you hope she's not listening, but as a backup if she is.
One hand washes the other. But also I would say things like, I think that your first legal drink is always a kind of thrill. And mine, I do actually remember that day. So June the 14th, 1990. My birthday is on the same day as Donald Trump's. I don't want anybody pointing that out. He wasn't there at the Catholic Club that day. Thank fucking God. But yeah, Lee Catholic Club, as I've already mentioned.
Had he got the cab into the Hacienda?
That's it, yeah. He got the bag of pills. We met him later. He wasn't such a bad man then, you know. But yeah, my granddad and my dad took me to the Catholic Club, and it was an anointment situation, like a ceremony, really. We couldn't go and get battered because I was in the middle of my A-levels. That was it. But I very much remember that, you know, sort of going in the hallowed ground of the Catholic Club, and instead of sitting outside in the Wolsey being passed a bottle of Coke, I was getting my first ceremonial pint. I actually can't remember what it was. I think it was like a pint of bitter. But that, yeah, that was nice. You know, we've never been a family of massive boozers. And, you know, my granddad deserves special mention because, like I said, him and his brother came from the sort of pub world. They both fought in the war and stuff. In fact, my Uncle Alf was a member of the SAS. I shit you not. Oh, yeah. He got a Légion d'honneur before he passed away. But my granddad, secretary of the Catholic Club, pillar of the community, and he ran that place like, you know, he knew everybody. If you mentioned a name of anybody who'd lived in Lee over the last 80 years, he knew every family connection. He was like the Don, and he would just stand at the bar. But he didn't drink a lot. That was his thing. He would nurse, and people would be always buying him drinks, but he would nurse, and he would get everybody else drinks. So to be allowed into that pantheon. And then the thing he did for me and all my friends, as soon as we turned 18, he would get us a sort of membership, which was, I think it was like 10p a year or something. He just, you know, you got all your memberships. And there you go, 90p a pint now. And it was, you know, it was a thing.
Ceremonial.
It was very much ceremonial, you know, it was lovely. And it's a shame it's not there anymore. Everything moves on, doesn't it? But yeah, that was a special drink.
Yeah. I'm trying to, with my kids, mine are 12, 9 and 6. And I'm trying to sort of do the, let them have a little sip of alcohol every now and then to ease them into it sort of thing. And I had a bottle of wine open on New Year's Eve, and I bought it at the same time as my eldest son, Otto. And I said, Otto, no, you can have a tiny bit of red wine as well, if you want as well, because it's the wine from the same age as you. Okay, so you just got to enjoy it. Just down to me. Like, wow, this has not gone the way I thought it would do. Yeah.
Right, what we're moving on to, Dad.
Yeah, right.
Jack Daniels.
Let's get the optics. a lovely sweet choice for your drink in time there, Sean. Now it's time to find out Sean's dream pub companion, but that is only for those of you who invest in the Moon Underwater Patreon. You can find out more about that at moonunderpod.com. For the rest of you, we'll be back after this ad break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You are barred. Now, Sean, you've chosen a lot of things that you want to go in your pub, and now it's time to pick something that you don't want. So you can bar something from your Moon Underwater. What is it you would like to kick out? He's giggling already.
Ooh. Well, right, I'll tell you what, I'll give you, you can edit as much of this out as you want, right? It's entirely up to you. I'll leave gaps so you can snip things out.
Ronnie's looking nervous.
But as well as our daily podcast, Sean Keamy's Daily Grind, available wherever you get your podcasts, we also do our little Patreon radio show, Community Garden Radio, which is in near Charlotte Street. And there is a pub near there called the Duke of York. And it's got an oil painting of the current Duke of York outside of it, which seems jarring, to say the least, at the moment. I don't want to say too much about it. You know, I don't want to be drawn on it for legal reasons, but it seems a bit weird. And it seems weirder every day at the moment. We call it the out of court settlement tavern. But that aside,
the Duke of York's, they could have a painting of.
I know.
Yeah, the grand old.
This is the thing. Yeah. It's like any of the other Duke of York's, man.
Yeah.
But there he is, you know, this fat little face not sweating. And but the reason I mention it is because the last time I went in there, it's actually, apart from that, quite a nice little boozer. But I'm sitting there having a drink, doing a bit of work, and it's like, there's a telly in the corner, which always pisses me off. And it's got news on, which pisses me off even more. But he had GB news on.
Oh, God.
And I was like, that is...
That slightly explains the picture outside.
Yes. It's like, I'm in the wrong boozer. This is no longer a safe space for me. But the actual answer that I was going to give, because he's so synonymous with pub culture, and that's a tragedy for me because pubs are sacrosanct and they are places that Nigel Farage should not be a fucking loud in. And I don't care what anybody thinks of that. If you disagree with me, you're wrong. Nigel Farage should not be in any pub, not just in the United Kingdom, in the world. I don't want to go to Santa Monica, to that English pub, which I've been in before, sitting there quietly having a nice quiet drink, you know, reading a book and hear that braying prick talking about immigration. I don't want it, you know, sort of, chugging pints of Timmy Tail Landlord talking, you know, these puffed up like Toad of Toad Hall sort of chest, you know, sort of completely puffed up on his own importance. I don't want it anywhere near any pub, full fucking stop. So that has to be implemented with immediate effect if it's got anything to do with me.
Well, it's your pub.
It's your pub.
Right.
So absolutely fine.
Get out my pub.
Yeah. As Pat, but not Pat Butcher, the other one, Barbara Windsor would have said.
Terrific. Sorry, Nigel, if you're listening. Sure, lovely. Before we name your pub, you've mentioned Daily Grind. Mm. What's that? What's the concept?
Ooh.
I've listened, so I know, but I'm saying for the purpose of the listeners.
Well, quite for the people who might not have, for the few people who might not have heard it. it's conceivable. It's a good question. How can I answer that? Basically, more than anything, the Daily Grind is, it's daily.
A grind.
And it is a grind, believe you me. I've made a romp of my own back big time. It's a little bit like, it's funny that this is a podcast about my favourite safe space in the world, the pub. And in a funny way, what we're trying to achieve on the Daily Grind is a kind of Cheers bar feeling, in a sense. You know, we're over time, we're hoping that will happen. So it's a little bit like one of my old radio shows, but without all the other accoutrement. You know what I mean? There's no traffic, there's no travel, there's no news, thank God. Apart from the stupid news that we pull out of the papers, there's no music except for the stupid songs that occasionally I put in. I've written a country song that we put in yesterday's episode called Please Subscribe If You Like and Leave a Review, which is a beautiful thing. But, you know, effectively, it's just me doing the sort of thing that I would do on the radio. But sometimes we're in the studio. Sometimes we're out and about. We interview people, talking rubbish with Sean Keaveney down the canal towpath, picking up litter. We have a tax deductible pub quiz, which is where we go to people's local pubs and interview them there. We did the brilliant actor Mark Bonner in his local pub, and you know, sometimes I'll go to Christie's and look at, you know, sort of, you know, Beethoven's manuscripts and then talk bollocks about it in the pub across the road. It's just a weird mishmash of guests, whatever I think's interesting to talk about, and that's it really. It's an ever-growing bizarre little corner of the audio universe.
One of the things I like about it, and you in general, is that you embrace the mundane in life quite well.
That's
something
good.
I do as well. And I have a YouTube channel. My most watched video ever, with about over 600,000 views, is me asking the darts player Michael Van Gerwen about his bin day routine. Surprisingly complicated. You have to take your bins places. They won't just come pick them up.
But that's it, isn't it? Yeah. I kind of want to. This is the stuff I want to know about.
Yeah.
I made up a sort of a crest for the Daily Grind, and the, you know, with Latin, and it was Mundus. profundus profanus, which is mundanity, profundity, profanity, and that's really what, those are the three places I want to hit, you know.
Is it been a bit freeing not being under the restrictions of national radio? It's, that you can just swear.
I love it. I just it's not even that's great as well, but I think that it's not anybody's. It's a really wonderful thing to be part of a national radio station, and I would never rule out doing it again at all. And in fact, I still do it occasionally. But when you are employed by somebody to do something like that, you know, there's a great deal of security that comes with it. But you are giving away a lot of your your freedom. And I don't mean in a Nigel Farage way.
Freedom! sovereignty!
But you know, your freedom of thought, you know, if you feel like being a bit partisan about something, it's not a political bloody podcast, you know, but if you feel like saying something like that, you can do. If you want to disagree with people about things, or you want to say something a little bit fruity, or drop the occasional F-bomb, It's like putting on elasticated trousers on Christmas Day, you know. It's just like, oh, yeah. It's great, you know. So, yeah, I really do find that.
And Community Garden Radio, what's that?
That's it. Yeah, that's the one that's in the shadow of the Out of Court Settlement Tavern. And we just do it on Wednesdays. It's this lovely live little 2 hours. And again, the music's fantastic. We get to choose our own music, and we've got a lovely little cabal of Patreon super fans, and we just create this little radio. We call it a little verdant paradise, a little garden of you know, sort of like minds, and it's just daft, you know.
Wonderful.
Really daft fun. We need daft now, don't we? The world's so unbelievably difficult and broken a lot of the time. This is the stuff that we retreat to, really.
Brilliant. If people have enjoyed this, apart from listening to those two things, how can they find you on the socials? Well, you do 1.8 million tweets a day.
I've actually been tweeting under the table for the past 2 hours. I've done about 9. I'm totally addicted. I'm at Sean W. Keaveney on Twitter, wherever it's called now. But you probably find it quite difficult to spell that, so I don't expect many people to follow me. In fact, if you put me on the spot, I don't think I can fucking spell it. And I'm on Instagram as well under a similar auspice. I'm out there. You know, I've got to cut that down. I've got to cut down the boozing, the Diplomatico, and I've got to cut down the tweeting.
Okay,
I'll do a resolution.
Tweeting first. Diplomatico.
Drink up, please. It's time. The final task for you, Sean, before you can go away into the night, is to name this pub. And what are we calling this masterpiece?
You did say we were allowed to swear, didn't you?
Yeah.
We have sworn, haven't we? So this sounds playful, but this is kind of like a back burner real dream of mine. Not necessarily to run a pub, because I haven't got the chops for that. I haven't got the admin. It would be shut down within 3 months. But
what a 3 months.
What a 3 months it would be. I mean, you know... leave a bloated corpse. But I think it was a few years ago when I was out in the park with the kids, and I was probably just dreaming about the next time I could go to the pub anyway. And I just saw it in my peripheral vision, a Labrador curling one out. Really big pile it was as well. And then, sorry to be so scatological, but there's a reason for this. And then, you know, in comes the owner with the blue bag with the hand and picks it up like a good, responsible Northwest London dog owner would. But it was something about the way that dog was, it had its horn, you know, how a dog sits when it's when it's having a poo with the sort of the front paws down. And you've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, and that facial expression, it's like part enjoyment, part stress.
They look a bit embarrassed as well, don't
they? Yeah, their eyes are sort of very wide, and it's like, oh, I hope nobody sees me, you know. Yeah.
I saw one this morning. It's very frosty. It was out running, and you could just see the bum was definitely higher than it would normally be.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a bit...
He's like, oh, it's a bit, God, the guy's going to pick it up and put it in a bag again, isn't he? Why does he keep them?
sling it in a tree. And I just thought, that's such a great... I'd love a really, really beautifully rendered oil painting of that scene.
Yeah.
And with it complete with a hand coming in to the shop, as it were, with the blue bag.
Yeah.
And calling the pub the shitting dog. I don't know why, but I just think that it would be nice.
It would be nice to say you should go down the shitting dog for a
Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah.
Pub names get abbreviated there. You don't want it to be abbreviated the dog.
Yeah, that'd be a shame if you got the shitting out. Then it would be.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Well, a terrific choice. Dan, can you just recap quickly what Sean has got in his shitting dog?
Yes. So draft choices, Theek's and XB and Peroni. Mm. Bottle choices, McEwen's Export, which we've been sort of enjoying.
Great.
And Emperor's Brewery Stout, which you're going to hook us up with. Spirit choices, Jack Daniel's Diplomatico Rum. You accepted the listener suggestion from Sean about the X-Ray magazine in the
Jukey.
None of us really understood it, but we all
said yes.
That.
Yes. Yeah. Your jukebox choice was Beach Boys 20 Golden Greats.
And Kokomo.
Plus on mini disc.
Drinking Time, your first ever drink at Lee Catholic Club.
Yeah.
You barred Nigel Farage quite vociferously. And your pub name is The Shitting Dog.
Oh. Sean, thank you very much for your time. It's been a really, really enjoyable over 2 hours.
Yeah, sorry.
So no, apologies for that. So long. Yeah. But thank you very much for coming on The Moon Underwater. You may now return to the other realm.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. The Shitting Dog.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.